8:55 Eastern Daylight Time. And Columbia and its affiliated stations bring you Elmer Davis and the news.
On the 12th day of the offensive, German armored columns struck down the valley of the Somme, captured Amiens, thus cutting rail connections between Paris and the northern channel ports, and pushed on to the sea at Abbeville. The German high command, however, has not claimed that more than armored divisions have got this far, though unofficial German sources say that considerable numbers of infantry are following them. Advanced motor forces are striking northward up the coast, but are meeting not only land opposition, but the fire of warships in the channel. Another German column, protecting the flank of the one moving down the Somme Valley, took Arras 25 miles to the north, a mass attack by the German Air Force finally deciding a long infantry battle. By these successes, the Allied armies have been cut in two, or to put it another way, the advanced German forces are between two Allied masses. Northwest of Reims, the French are attacking the flank of the German bulge in the direction of Laon and La Fère, and there are counterattacks from the other side, too. By the thrust to Abbeville, some 700,000 British, French, and Belgian troops are more or less encircled by the Germans with their backs to the channel from Boulogne to Ostend. They can do only two things, try to escape across the channel, for which there cannot be enough available shipping, or try to cut their way out, and this last is what they are doing. Continual counterattacks are going on around Cambrai and Valenciennes. The Germans say that the French only are taking part in them while the British are trying to escape across the channel under bombardment from the German Air Force. But this seems only a repetition of the familiar German propaganda endeavor to create discord between the Allies, which is already leading to German hints of an offer of a separate peace to France. The French military spokesman says that the British also are battling the Germans in northern France, and apparently most of the British Air Force is operating in France, leaving the British troops in Belgium with very little air support. The German Air Force was methodically destroying towns all through northern France today with high explosive and incendiary bombs, and was using parachute troops to disrupt communications. All correspondents report that the Germans have derived an immense advantage from the displacement of population caused by these attacks on a thickly inhabited region. Crowds of refugees, numbering millions according to some estimates, from wrecked and burning towns are crowding the roads and often hamper Allied motor columns in operations where time is of the utmost importance. Some stories have said that the failure to destroy strategic bridges was due to the fact that they were crowded with refugees at the critical moment, and there have been many reports of German planes bombing and machine gunning refugee columns. Apparently, the Germans now regard all northern France as a military objective. Premier Reynaud, in a speech to the French Senate today, candidly admitted that the breakthrough on the Meuse was a disaster due to an overestimate of the natural strength of the position, which left it defended by an inadequate number of poorly trained troops. But he insisted that France would win if its people showed the same spirit as in the last war. And the German commander in Belgium told a United Press correspondent today that so far there have been only preliminary encounters and the decisive action had not yet taken place. A diplomatic effect of the German successes appeared today when the Russian government rejected the British proposal for trade negotiations that was made some time ago. Whatever Stalin hoped for from this war, he seems to feel now that he has to play ball with Hitler. Italy still remains non-belligerent, but the governor of Gibraltar ordered the evacuation of all women and children from that fortress today, and presumably he was thinking of an Italian attack, as he said he was sure Spain would remain neutral. In Washington, congressional committees hurried action on defense appropriation bills, and the Navy Department ordered government Navy yards to go on a two-shift schedule. The president said at his press conference, however, that he would like to see a 40 or 42-hour week maintained, and that social gains achieved under the New Deal will not be weakened. He said that industry should have a fair profit, but there should be no profiteering, and that labor should not seek special increments in wages from the situation. A number of national leaders, including Republicans, will be brought into the government, he said, but apparently not into the cabinet. Reconstitution of the War Industries Board of the last war is not contemplated. Former President Hoover wrote tonight to Senator Toby of New Hampshire in response to a question that he could see no objection to Republicans serving in the cabinet as individuals, but he said they would not represent their party. Our people will differ, said Mr. Hoover, in opinion as to the best methods of keeping out of the war, and there should be debate on policy.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.